This is JC.
Hi, I'm Will.
And welcome to...
Dude.
Oh, the duties. They're here. They're here to be filled. Those duties.
They're flocking by the dozens to come and listen
dozens,
to us.
Dozens, like the salmon of Capistrano. How was your weekend, William?
You know, it was all right. We went to the in-laws' house. We had a great time. My father-in-law, he built a zip line in the backyard. They have a huge backyard, and he built a zip line.
Oh, you got to go into the script. Like, how big we talking here?
Oh, I'm gonna say 100 feet.
It's a pretty legit zip line.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How high up is it?
Not very high. I'm gonna say it starts at like maybe 12 feet and it ends at like 7 feet, maybe 6 feet.
Well, I mean, who's going on that zip line? I mean,
I feel like just the kids. Like if an adult does it, like you really have to lift your knees up to stay on it. But when the kids do it, they're really sliding down it.
I mean, because I'm thinking if you start at 12 feet, I mean, your son's what, 3.5 feet tall? Your oldest. Like he could really hurt himself if he lets go.
Yeah.
Well, that's a risk we're willing to take. Yes.
But when an adult does it at 12 feet, it's fine until you get to, you know, 10 feet. Then you put a lot of weight on it, so it goes down significantly. Right. But when a kid is 40 pounds,
So you guys were just zipping all weekend? Was that?
He was. So naturally, Dad was walking him back, pushing him down.
How many times do you think he zipped?
Oh, gosh. I'm not even kidding. Maybe 200. It's the whole weekend. I mean, he did a lot.
I mean, a lot of zipping.
Yeah, their backyard's pretty awesome. My brother-in-law. We just took golf balls and a metal bat, and we were just throwing golf balls at each other and just hitting these balls with a metal bat. It was awesome.
64 style, whatever that game was, like just knocking them out.
It's liberating to hit a golf ball with a metal bat. Oh, it's amazing. It's the best feeling.
So I've had my last couple weekends have been very physically demanding as of late. So I had Conshohocken and Cornsucker try out 2 weeks ago.
To be clear, you were not sucking corn. Explain to people what the Cornsuckers are.
Yes, so the Conshohocken Cornsuckers, I live in the town of Conshohocken.
Conshi for short. Yeah.
Conshi. Conshohocken. And there is a baseball team that was created by a friend of mine called the Conshohocken Cornsuckers. And
it's an amazing name, by the way.
Great name. And basically, the Cornsuckers, there's only one event. Sanctioned event a year for the Cornsuckers, and
whoa! You only play one game a year?
Oh yeah, and it's just tryouts. There's no game, Will. It's just you're trying out to make the team for the year.
But you play no games?
Well, there's interleague scrimmages at the Cornsuckers tryouts to see if you make the team.
And then you just get bragging rights the rest of the year, like I'm a Cornsucker?
Well. I will say everybody that's tried out has made the team. So you show up and we show up to this elementary school and there's all kinds of drills. There's fruit hitting with the bat. There's, you know, live ball drills where there's like three or four people just throwing balls into the outfield. You have to catch them and make sure you don't break your nose. I say all this to say, like, it's I really have a whole new respect for, like, baseball because, like, you don't normally move like that on a regular basis. So, like, even if you exercise pretty regularly, like, the next day is brutal. And the amount of injuries that we piled up at this stupid thing over the last 10 years, I mean, like, we've had, like, every year at this point now, somebody, like, breaks something or pulls something. It's really, really bad.
So people are trying their hardest. This isn't like go and skip and, you know, swing some bat and hit some balls. Like
this is the Cornsuckers, Will. I don't think you are taking this as seriously as you should.
I'm sorry.
This is the Conshohocken and Cornsuckers, and it would be an embarrassment if you did not make the team.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, but I almost didn't make the team this year. I was very close. And I've been on the cusp for years due to my inability, both behind the plate, trying to hit the ball, or I guess next to the plate, and in the field. I didn't connect with the ball once.
Do they pitch? Like, are they pitching, like, as hard as they can?
No, Will. This is very slow underhand. About as pathetic. And you better believe I struck out at every at-bat. Now, it's never been that bad. So I can tell that, like, my hand-eye coordination, which was never good. Let's mind you, it's never been good, but it's getting worse in my old age. So I did not even make contact, not even a foul, Will. Yeah, so that's how bad my coordination. But I was so sore after that, but I did make the team. I will say that I did do a decent job fielding some very intense high pop flies. So I was impressed with that.
That's great. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Good job.
I think I have the arm strength of a fourth grader, though. It's pretty pathetic. I can't, the ball, like, I cannot get it back to home. It's like this pathetic, like, ah! Like, I'm like, I'll throw it, and like, it bounces like four or five times, and people have to like reluctantly like jog out to wherever the ball ends up. It's not a pretty thing. Then I did a half marathon. Yesterday, it was great until like I did pretty well. My body started turning on itself about mile 10. It wasn't good. I just became a giant cramp, and I was doing like I don't know. You can tell when like spectators are looking at you and they like are making faces like they feel sorry for you. The last bit, I think, was painful for not only me, but I think everybody else who had to watch me, you know?
Yeah. That's why they have people there encouraging, like, for old men like us. Like, come on, you can do it, fella.
Because, yeah, you know what? When I was a younger man, I didn't really understand that. I was like, look at these people, you know? Who are these? But now, I really do need the encouragement. Like, the people that you're looking at, like, during the race, like, oh, like this person, and then they pass you eventually, and they're doing like the like weird like fast walk thing, and you're like, oh no, I let that guy pass me with a fanny pack. Ugh.
I think you would agree with me that your late 30s, like, I still feel really strong. I still feel like I have the like I'm also playing in a baseball league, and there are no corn suckers. I want to put that out there. We're not corn suckers.
I mean, who is a corn sucker? I mean, really, it's only
maybe the professionals. Yeah. You know, but it goes, you know, like Major League Baseball and corn suckers.
Sure. And then there's minor AAA. Leagues. Yeah, then the minor leagues. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's how it goes. Yeah.
And so I'm playing in this league, and I hit a ball really hard. It goes way out in the outfield, and I'm running, and I'm still, to my surprise, pretty fast, and I run all the way around the bases, and I hit it in the park home run. And then I passed out. I, honest to God, I have the strength. I don't have the endurance anymore.
Wait, you actually passed out?
Well, no, but I had to sit down. I was like...
You were winded. You started seeing like things started going in and out of your vision at that point. And then like you have to be a man, so you have to be like, I'm fine, but like you're actually like under your breath, like call 911.
That's exactly right. That's 100% correct.
Please call, like, get me out of here. I need to leave right now.
I was waiting for Jesus to take the wheel.
Just take me right now.
Last year when I played on the team, I played on the team a little bit last year, and I was playing second base, and I dove for a ball. And as I dove for a ball, my hamstring just went pop, and I pulled my hamstring. And it was then that I learned that when you pull a muscle, it can actually bruise.
Yeah, it's
wild. My back of my leg was purple.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is. Like, how is that possible?
And what is the pop? Like, I want to have a medical expert explain what that pop is. Like, it's not good. Like, let's all agree, not a good thing when your muscles pop.
Anytime anything pops, yeah, that's not a good thing.
Is there ever a time in life when something pops and...
Champagne, that's it.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And you know what's funny is when I dove, I said, who opened the champagne? And I realized it's my hammy.
That's no champagne, my friend.
That's your pants, and they're bleeding. So, yeah, I empathize with you, friend. We're almost 37, and...
Well, and the thing is, I've never been, like, to go back to, like, the cornstarcher thing, I've never been very coordinated nor a good athlete. I can run. I was always the person who I can get to the ball fast, but I can't do anything once I get to that ball, which is problematic because most sports you actually have to, like, be able to do something, you know? It's interesting. I grew up, and you know this, with a very athletic... I came from an athletic family.
Yeah. Joel is... Yeah. He still plays basketball, right?
I think he still laces him up a little bit. He was always such a good athlete. Like, he would, like, play... He would, like, in high school, even, he would, like, play me and friends, like, two-on-one. That's the kind of just, like, pure athlete he is. And so... Like, when he would try to teach me things, I think it was, like, so mind-boggling to him because he was just naturally good at everything, and I, like, couldn't dribble with my left hand, and he was just like, oh my God, like, what is this, like, strange, uncoordinated bird that I produce? So for me, like, the one time in my life where I was able to, like, one-up him, for whatever reason, like, I'm a decent skier. I have no idea why. I shouldn't be a good skier. I'm not very balanced. But for some reason, it's not that hard for me. I'm actually, like decently good at skiing for whatever reason. And my father is, honest to God, one of the worst skiers I've ever seen in my life.
That's surprising.
He did lessons with my mom. And it was like we went on, like, a family trip with some friends. And so, like, he had never gone, so he did, like, you know, you do, like, basically the half day of lessons or the whole day of lessons or whatever while, like, me and everybody else hit the slopes. So, like, I remember skiing up to, like, see the family, and I see my mom, like, my mom was, like, really good. She was, like, kind of, like, da-da-da-da-da, like, zipping down, like, looking pretty cool, zipping down the hill. And I'm, like, where's Dad? And she just, like, she kind of, like, made this, like, face, and she just pointed to, like, what looked to be like this, like, crumpled up man, like, you know, like, halfway up the mountain. No joke, like, it. And then I waited because I was like, oh, he'll be down in a few minutes. It was like it took him like 15 minutes to, like, I think he did, like, that slow, embarrassing walk with, like, one ski, like, down the mountain. I kid you not, Will, I looked at my father and he had, like, tears in his eyes. He was broken. I watched my father at that point, and at this point in his life, I think he was, like, either in his, like, late 40s, early 50s, and to see, like, a broken, this is your father, and he's a broken man, and I have to tell you, Will, there was almost no more pure joy that I experienced as his child than at that point. I was just filled, because this man has thoroughly kicked my ass in everything for my entire life. And so for once, I was like, yes!
Did he keep trying, or did he just, like, give up?
No, he quit. He literally quit. Yeah. Suck it, Joel.
My youngest son loves your dad, by the way. My youngest son, my 1.5-year-old, every time he sees your dad, he, like, wants your dad to hold him.
What's not to love? He's a lovable Greek man. Sweetheart of a man.
Yeah, just a man who can't ski.
He just, you know, doesn't have it in him. I remind him of that all the time.
Is his Achilles heel?
Wait, what?
Is that how you say it? Achilles heel?
No! Wait!
Achilles!
Oh my God. You just, well, at first I thought you were having, like, a stroke or something. You were like, Igles.
Wait, how do you say Achilles heel?
Achilles, not Igles. Igles heel? Igles sounds like some, like, children's character.
It sounds like a delicious treat.
It's definitely a frozen treat.
So yeah, that's your dad's
Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Also, when you said it, the one thing I will say before ending this is, like, you paused for a minute and, like, I could tell even when you were saying it, you made eye contact and it was like, this man has no idea, like, what he is saying as it's coming. Like, he's hoping that I'm just going to, like, acknowledge it and be like, you're right, that was the correct word, and, like, not let it go by. But no.
What is a word that you, like, ever, all of us have one of those words. Like, the other day I tried to say, quintessential. And every time I say it, I always say quiz essential. Like, it's an essential quiz. Like, it's going to be on the test.
If you don't pass that quiz, it's not good. It's essential. One of the problems is, like, so Carol Ann, she is a, not only is she certified in history, but she's also an ELA certified, so English language. And she is like it's all, it's like I live with the grammar police. So, like, I'm on probation all the time, baby, because, like, I don't use anybody who is part of the grammar police and they listen to this podcast half the time has to, like, be, like, running themselves off the road because I'm sure we use words incorrectly on a regular basis. But, like, I'll just, the problem is I'll use a word trying to be, like, smart, like, in my vernacular, and it's not the correct usage of that word. And she's like, yeah, that word's not what you think that, like.
I say the word pragmatic all the time, and I'm, like, 85%, 75% certain what that word means.
I don't think I could tell you what that word means.
But I say it like I know what it means.
It's a good, that's a great word to have in your arsenal. That's a very smart, that's a smart word. Like, can is there an example? Can you, like,
Okay. So, listen, he's a great boss. He's smart. He's very pragmatic, but, you know, sometimes he lacks some, the book smarts. He's more of a street smarts kind of guy. Very pragmatic.
See, I would not, you did not skip a beat, brother. Like, at that point, I'd be like, I wouldn't challenge anything what you said, because, and also, you really fancied up that sentence to the point where, like, I think he should be the boss. I think Will should be the boss because of his usage of that word.
Listen, it's part of my quiz essential formula.
But I think the other problem is it could be your Eagles heel. Iggly heel.
How do you say it again?
It's Achilles.
It's the way it's spelled. It's spelled like A is Chili's.
Do you know what Achilles? It was like that's like a Greek mythological.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. But it's a Greek mythology. I can't say that word. Mythology is what I meant to say. Greek mythology. I was trying to say methodology. Mythology.
This is exactly why we have a podcast, people.
Sit there, just you. Anytime you end the podcast, you're like, "Well, I'm not smarter. I'm dumber for listening to this, but I'm smarter than these people."
Yeah, you're patting yourself on the back. You're saying, "Good job, buddy. We're doing all right." No, how's your boy? What's going on in the life of your boy?
Well, you know, eating is always such an adventure every day, right? Because it's not any given day, even within the day, he goes from, like, liking certain things to disliking them. And again, he can't communicate. It's just blah, blah, blah. It's just babbling. So I have no idea why the chicken is making him angry at 2:00, yet he's eating the chicken at 7:00. It's very strange. It could be the exact same kind of chicken. There's also a very strange, like, parasitic relationship going on in my household between the baby and Charlie, our obese French bulldog, where our French bulldog knows when it's time to, like, eat, when the baby eats, and he just circles the high chair like a great white shark. Trey gets a kick out of feeding Charlie. Like, he really enjoys it. And also, I think he's laughing. He's getting his toes licked. He's just having a good old, he's having a ball, you know?
Sure
he's eating. He's throwing, you know, broccoli at my head. But a lot of it ends up on the back of my French bulldog. He's so chubby, and he's like, if you've ever seen him, he looks like a loaf of bread. Like, he looks like a loaf of bread came to life magically.
So anytime I see a hairy loaf of bread with some SpaghettiOs on top, that's just your French bulldog.
It's just funny because, again, then I'll forget sometimes that he'll have, like, and he'll literally have, like, meals on his back throughout the day. And I think about it, the food reminds me of, like, the people from Dune riding this gigantic creature throughout my household. So yeah, then I'll find bits of Cheerios and SpaghettiOs and pieces of cheese all throughout the house that Charlie has managed to move from point A to point B. That is what Charlie is for the food of my child that he just throws. At this point, we're taking a bath after about every meal.
You take a how often is he? He's bathing multiple times a day.
Yeah, I mean, because the food is going just about everywhere. I don't know. He doesn't really like to get wiped down. It really, like, he gets really upset when we wipe. So we just end up in the bath. Like, it's quick. These are quick baths, though. I mean, they're not, like, we're not doing a full-fledged washing of the hair. It's mainly just like, all right, let's get the clothes off. Let's go for a quick dip. I remember one of the best quotes that you gave me around boys when you found out I was having a boy. I love this. Yeah. This is what I've told people this that are having children because I think it's hysterical. You turn to me as you're like, again, we've been childhood friends for forever. And now we're adults going into this phase of my life. I told you I'm having a boy. And you like looked at me in the eyes and you were like, JC, you're going to be so happy. It's going to be one of the best things in the world to be a father of a boy. He is going to destroy everything that you love, everything he is going to destroy.
Yes.
That was the message. There was no, like, but it's going to be okay or any other comforting thing that came next. It was literally just, like, be prepared for the destruction that will come.
To be clear, I'm talking about physical things. Nate Bargatze, the great comedian, once described having boys as letting bobcats loose in your house. That's the best example I can get. I have spackled so many holes in walls and shelves that have been broken off the walls, and I can't tell you how many things I've had to fix because of my boys. And it's the best thing ever. Having boys is so much fun, but you just gotta be prepared to let go of your... It's great that you have your garage. It's almost like the sacred space. Like, you know, what you're in right now. It's like your forgive me for saying this, man cave.
Yeah, well, you know, ideally it will be difficult for him to destroy what's in here, but I'm sure he's capable.
When he's old enough to open doors, yes. That's a dilemma you'll have to figure out.
I have to lock this.
My boys love shovels. You should see my backyard. It looks like we have 10 Doberman Pinschers in our backyard.
Wait, they love shovels?
Shovels, yes. They love to dig. They love to play in dirt and dig, and it's a madhouse in my backyard.
They just get, like, they just randomly, like...
They're boys. They have no plan for anything. It's not like girls are combing hair to get all the knots out and coloring within the lines. Like, my oldest son once came into the room butt naked, laughing, and we said, "What's so funny, buddy?" And he turned around and he had a chapstick wedged between his butt cheeks, cigarette style, not like hot dog style, cigarette style. And he was like shaking his butt around, and then he just left. And that's when we decided we need to throw away all of our chapsticks. Not even going to risk it. That's what having boys is. One story I always think about sums up parenting. It sums up what it means to be a dad of a boy. This was maybe like a year, year and a half ago. I took my son to the grocery store, and we had just gotten back from the park, and he was having a great time at the park, and all of a sudden, he started getting a little quiet and just kind of not being his normal, like, running around self, right?
Sure, sure.
And I asked him, like, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm okay. And I said, are you thirsty? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, let's go to this grocery store down the street and get you a water, because I forgot to bring a water. And so we go to the grocery store, and he's kind of even more quiet. I said, are you sure you're okay? He's like, yes, yes, I'm fine. And I put him in the shopping cart. We get in there, we go down the aisle, and he's just looking miserable. And I said, are you okay? He looks at me and vomits all over my chest, all over my pants, all over the aisle.
Like projectile, just like...
It's the first time in my life I've really seen projectile vomit. It's one of those moments where I just sat there for like 2 seconds, closed my eyes, and just was like, okay, well, this is a situation. You're going to have to deal with it.
But there is a sense of, like, you're, like, helpless. Like, there's nothing you...
Yes.
You can't do anything. Like, it's embarrassing. There's nothing you can do.
No, here's what it was, is, like, I now have to handle this situation that's super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And he could tell I was just, like, not looking forward to having to deal with this. And puke everywhere. I wasn't mad at him. I was just like, oh, really? And he started saying, it's okay, Dada. Dada, it's okay. Almost like, it wasn't your fault, Dad. He kept saying, it's okay, Dada, it's okay. And it's the one time in my life where I've felt so much empathy for a human and been so irritated with a human. And that's what it's like to have a boy. It's just simultaneously like, I love this little stinker. And also, you just irritate the bejesus out of me.
Did the magical sawdust person appear?
So a lady came over, and I said, with a mop, and I said, I'll clean this. She said, don't worry about it. I'll clean it. And I'm covered in puke as I say this. I just said, okay, thank you. I take my son out of the puke-covered cart, told him, and just back to the car. I just left with pure shame.
Did you leave your cart? So you left your cart.
I offered to clean it, and she said, no, that's fine. And I took that offer.
How much time between that incident happening and you going back to that grocery store? Because I would have had like a good like three months.
You come back in with a fake mustache. You're like, weren't you just in here with that boy that vomited? No. I'm new in town.
Your child has a mustache too.
He's never vomited a day in his life.
He doesn't even know what vomit is.
Hey man, you been in this grocery store? He's got chapstick. No, don't give him the chapstick.
Don't give him the chapstick. God knows where that's been. Oh, that is brutal. Oh my God.
Today, my wife just took the 5-year-old to Trader Joe's, and they have these little shopping carts, and he loves to use those.
Yeah.
And they didn't have them. And then he wasn't able to get the ice cream cones that he wanted. She said he just screamed in the store, this is the worst day of my life! This is the worst day of my life!
What if that is the worst day of his life? That's a pretty good life. From now to the end of his, like... Like, he makes it to, like, the grand old age of 95, and that literally is the worst. If that's the case, man.
He had a good life.
He had the best.
As an adult, what are some moments that you have sat back and gone, like, why am I in this moment right now? I need to be out of this moment.
I feel like as a professional in general, you just have a lot of soul-destroying moments on a regular basis as an adult. I was in a meeting one time, and like it was a meeting. It was myself and two other individuals from my company, and then there was a consultant that was independent. Like they were also coming in to help with a different project with a company. This was one of the most uncomfortable meetings I've ever been at. Like they had all this food like set out, but like we didn't have time to enjoy the food, which kind of sucked. I'm bringing this up for a reason. We go, we sit in the meeting, and we present first this consultant who was like overall like the like we were again we're a small component of like this big financial transformation project, and he like starts talking through his slides and stuff. Like midway through, the people they're presenting to are like they're like whispering, like they're like talking to each other, like as this like is going on, and like I think the guy's like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like,
wait, the people he's presenting to.
Yeah, and that we had already presented to. They're definitely like not engaged, and they're like talking to each other, and to the point where like the guy who's presenting is like, what's going on here? And they're like, yeah, you know what? We're not sure we're like feeling this. We're going to go, I don't know how we feel about this. So, yeah. And they just got up and left. Well, the people who they presented to got up and left. They're like, hey, we're going to go like take like 30, 45 minutes. And then we'll come back and give you some thoughts. And so then we're sitting there like, well, like we saw that food. Do we go eat? We're being myself and my two coworkers are like, well, do we go get food? Like, because like we have time now. Like, we don't know if they're going to come back, but like we can't just leave. And then that, the one guy who was presenting, he got really mad and he's like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So he's like, I'm done. F these people. I'm done. So he like storms out. And so like literally we just sit there, me and my coworkers, we're now in this empty conference room and we're like, all right. And we just go and get food and just eat the food that we had seen people eating earlier. And then they eventually come back.
Did they address the elephant in the room? Were they like, ah, sorry about that?
They never did. But they were like, they talked to us about our thing. And then they just like dismissed us. It was weird, man. It was like, even in like my sales meetings, oftentimes, more times than not, like if somebody is flying in for a presentation, like they have talked with a number of people. And there's sort of an understanding of, hey, here's what we're going to go over. Here's what we're going to talk about. And so that's why it was so shocking that the individuals he was presenting to were like, hey, we're no longer interested in having this conversation. You wasted your time. It was shocking.
Even your colleagues were like, that was a little uncalled for.
My colleagues were like, I've never seen this happen. One of the guys I was working with is like, I've been doing this for like 25 years. I've never seen people just like abruptly get up and leave the meeting.
What state were you in?
I was in New Jersey.
Makes sense.
Typical New Jersey, am I right?
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
What else going on, Will?
This has happened maybe a handful of times in my lifetime. You go into a public place and you just do a little check to make sure you remember to wear pants. Have you ever done that? Ever?
No, I mean, I have such a good... Do you not have sensitivity on your leg?
The smart part of me knows I put on shorts. But, like, let's say I'm walking into Costco. Sometimes I'm like, oh, there's a lot of people in here. Let's just make sure I put some shorts on. All right, I'm good. That's how my brain goes. Like, I did put on shorts, right? Yep. Okay, yeah, I'm good.
So, like, for me, I'm always patting myself down because of, like, wallet, keys, phone. I'm always nervous that I've lost those things. But you're just worried that, are you patting yourself down to make sure you're wearing pants?
It's kind of an OCD thing. It's kind of like, you know, how like some people, me being one of them, when you leave your car, you click the lock button like 10 times just to make sure you locked your car. It's the same thing. Like I go into a public place and it's just like, let's just make sure I'm wearing pants. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm, I'm good.
Have you had any close calls where like you in fact were not wearing pants?
No, but let me tell you.
Where is this going?
So one time I'm at the batting cages, I'm there, I'm wearing shorts, and I'm hitting, and all of a sudden I just feel this sensation that doesn't feel quite normal. And I look down, and the old, you know, Don Johnson is sticking out of my zipper, and I realize I forgot to button. So I'm wearing athletic shorts, but it's the ones that have the buttons.
Wait, hold on. No. I'm really confused now though. How did it escape the athletic shorts? Did it go under?
I'm hitting a baseball, and this is, you know, 75 mile an hour pitches, so you know, I'm putting some pretty good contact on it. The fly is open. So as I swing to hit the ball, I think he just kinda, you know, snaked his way out of this zipper. I wasn't wearing underwear. I usually want to wear basketball shorts. That's all I'm wearing.
But your basketball shorts have a fly on them?
These did. These were like those weird type of shorts that had like a little button. Not a zipper fly, but like a button fly.
I am so confused at these shorts. Like, I can't believe who engineered these. I feel like these shorts should have been made. I feel like athletic shorts were purposely made so that this couldn't happen, so that he couldn't show up at an inopportune time.
You know what I compare it to? It's like pajama pants. You know how pajama pants have that? Like almost all pajama pants have.
Yeah.
It was like that. And I just wasn't wearing, and luckily I don't think anybody saw.
That would have been incredible to like walk up upon that. And you're just like really like, like yelling.
God, what technique is this? This is the Barry Bonds technique. But there's nothing quite like looking down and noticing, oh, that's not supposed to be like that.
Man, that's a great story, Will. I can't believe I never knew your weenie gym shorts story. Your weenie gym shorts. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Hey, you want me to read the sponsor?
Okay, yes. So, as you all know, we've been doing fake ads written by AI. That way, you know, we can show potential sponsors how well we can do this. And so far, I think we've been knocking it out of the park. So this time I wrote an ad with AI copywriting, and JC's going to read it. And this ad is for Levi Jeans. So JC, when you're ready, take it away, buddy.
Are you tired of jeans that feel like you're wearing a cactus? Enter Levi Jeans. Comfier than a hug from a fluffy beaver. We're not kidding. These jeans are like a cloud for your lower parts. And the best part? They make butts of all shapes and sizes look downright fabulous. Trust us. These jeans are a real butt-sweet deal. Hey, did you know that even David Hasselhoff looks like $1 million in our jeans? Yeah. And if it's good enough for the Hoff, it's good enough for common man. That's right, folks. Even the Hoff's buns look like they've been blessed by the denim gods. Wearing Levi jeans can also help you kick nasty smoking habits. Yep. In fact, folks, so hang up your smelly old pack of cigarettes and slip into a pair of our jeans. Your lungs will thank you. Oh, and here's a bonus tip. Make sure you get your daily dose of vitamin C while wearing our jeans. Trust us, you don't want to be caught off guard by a surprise trip to the bathroom. Jeans and vitamin C. It's a match made in the most comfortable bathroom ever. So, in summary, Levi jeans are comfier than a bed made of marshmallows. They'll make your booty look amazing, even the Hoff approves, and you're like a nicotine patch for your legs. Oh, don't forget the vitamin C. You're welcome, world. What application wrote that? Because it needs to be destroyed.
Here's what I did. I've gotten pretty good at this. I use copy.ai. And what I did was I took an entire transcript from a scene of Dumb and Dumber. And I put it in there. And I said, this is what I want the brand voice to be. And then I told it I want it to make people feel sexy like David Hasselhoff. I wanted to appeal to people who like David Hasselhoff. And wearing jeans is not for smokers. I don't know where I got the vitamin C part, but that's the magic of AI. It's pretty amazing.
I mean, the vitamin C is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
So, again, Levi, that one's for free. Think about what a paid ad would get you.
Oh, my God.
We might even bring David Hasselhoff in for this.
Yes, exactly. Well, Will, any other stories that you want to leave us with? Any other thoughts? Anything that, any really strong convictions you have?
Well, for the people who are watching this on Spotify, you can watch these episodes on Spotify. Spotify does, in fact, allow you to upload video. So people who are watching this, next episode, pay attention, because I'm about to go to Florida, and I'm coming back with a sweet, sweet tan. I might even show a nipple or two.
I mean, that's what the people want. That's why they want to be on Spotify, to just see that sweet, sweet nip action.
And for those of you who don't know, I've got a lot of, freckles and moles on my nipple, and, you know, people like Cindy Crawford for that little mole. It kind of adds a little sass.
Those people in Florida have no idea what's about to hit them.
I'm just going to suck up all the sexy on the beach. I can't help it. I mean, Brad Pitt gets it.
It's like a black hole for sexiness.
Yeah.
It just sucks it up.
So when I first met my wife, you know, people say, like, Will, what was your pickup line? And I just say, showed him my molly nipple. And
she was in love.
He was off to the races from there.
And then, you know, a couple days later, it already was going so well that you got it pierced with the ring itself.
That's exactly right. People say, why don't you wear a ring on your finger? Well, because she didn't marry me for my fingers.
She married you for your molly nips.
That's right. That's right. One more story here. What did you do to meet? Like, what was your opening line for Carol Ann? Like, how did you make her believe that an Oklahoma boy was the man of her dreams?
I mean, I was at a bar, and so and I've been drinking beer all day, so I'm sure it was not very, very smooth. And I was laughing at her jokes, and I was telling stories, and she was I don't know. That's a great question. I have no clue.
Well, you got to make something up. What happens when your kids ask you?
You're right.
Listen, I know this is hard to believe. I didn't actually show my wife my nipple when I first met her. That's a story I tell, man.
Dang it. You told me that story for years.
The thing that people don't tell you about adulthood, you make things up. Kids, lie on your resume. That's how you get the big bucks.
I think literally I was supposed to be on a Tinder date with somebody else. They suck. I think I came over and was like, what, chick sucks, or something like that, and she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, that other girl, like, I was supposed to meet her on a Tinder date, she was terrible. Hi, what's your name? Listen, there is no more powerful aphrodisiac to women than when you no longer care, and, like, you know what I mean, you're like, that when you're not chasing them, they get real hot about that, right? And so I came in just like, I didn't care, because I just, you know, that was my shot, and I was moving on. So I was in the right headspace, baby. I was in didn't even matter. I just, you know, hit threes with no pressure on.
You know what's another aphrodisiac for one? Just being tall.
Oh, I thought you were referring to like making sure your location were like isolated and they're very high up.
Make sure the altitude, there's no air, and it just kind of fools them into thinking you're hot. Yeah. Oh my God, you're so sexy. And also, why are we on the top of the Grand Tetons?
Yeah, this is like, I only have like a few feet before I would potentially plummet to my death. Did you plan that? This feels dangerous. It's like, that's how you get women, my friend.
Well, duties, I think it's about time we wrap up. I just want to remind you to follow us on Instagram, engage, comment, like, subscribe.
I think we're eventually going to get an email here in the next couple weeks where you can send in your questions, comments. If you need life advice, we could potentially discuss life advice here on the pod. So we'll let you know very soon. I think we're also going to have a guest on potentially next time. So we got some big things happening out here on the Dude Podcast. So just stay with us, little duties. Because we got some more exciting duty juice headed your way.
We got precious little gift for our little duties, and you just hang tight. You're in for a treat.
a delicious duty treat.
All right. Well, everybody, have a great week.
Bye, dude.
Thanks for joining us. See you, duties.